Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Thank you, Father, because we are a special people. Thank you, Father, because we are preserved for your glory. Thank you, Father, because we are called according to your purpose. And we thank you because nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing can separate us from your protection. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the scripture says the Lord knows how to preserve the righteous, even as he keeps the wicked for judgment. I'm just paraphrasing it. I'm hoping. Okay. It's in the New Testament. He knows how to preserve the righteous as he keeps the wicked for their time of judgment. He just keeps them somewhere for their time of judgment. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Praise the Lord. Delivers the godly out of temptations, and he reserves the unjust under punishment. And they are already under punishment, and they are reserved, but they are actually being prepared for the day of their real judgment. Praise the Lord. I don't know why this has come to mind, but I know one thing, that it's an interesting world right now we are living in, because I was seeing the other day China and America trading accusations on where the coronavirus came from. Can you actually believe the Chinese says it came from America? That's according to their foreign ministry. That actually came from America and somehow landed in China. And you know those things which, you remember the Zika virus, which apparently came from Entebbe, and there were even reports on BBC. Our reporter is where at the origin of the Zika virus. But I don't know how, like, those people tell more lies than the devil. Like, the Zika virus jumped from Entebbe and went to Brazil, and there were no sufferers in Entebbe. Do you remember seeing those reports? And like, they just create something. Of course, there's a place called Zika, whatever, virus research, whatever. So the name was just perfect for them. So they said, we've landed at ground zero of what? Zika virus. Now, apparently, ground zero of the coronavirus came from where? From America, according to the Chinese. But what I find interesting is, not too long ago, I read an article. It was in China Daily. And they were posing about how they have so many biological manufactured so many biological viruses that could kill people of their choice. And they manufacture them and keep them there. And it's not just, and they actually, it was in their China Daily News. And China Daily News is, this is not like the way news is elsewhere. Their news is a very controlled thing. So they were actually posing that day, we have stored our viruses, which are ready to what? To exterminate certain populations as and when we unleash them. But they are everywhere in the world. People are preparing. What? There's a biological warfare going on. Just like there's a nuclear, you know, there's a real biological warfare going on. America have their own, which they manufacture in Maryland. That's where their thing is, where they sit and manufacture. And now the other day, there was the Telegraph newspaper in the UK wrote a story saying that, quoting a professor, saying, be ready to see viruses unleashed. And now this is not even, you know, Telegraph is one of the most respected newspapers in the UK and in the world. And this is not even them saying that it came out of nowhere, monkeys, what, all that rubbish. Here he's saying they actually are viruses which have been prepared specifically to target certain ethnic people. And there was this professor who was saying it, and it ran in the Telegraph newspaper, and there was a big headline there. So they manufacture viruses which are targeted at certain ethnic people. And for some reason, it seems that those people of certain ethnicity are the ones who seem to die because they trace certain things. Now, there's absolutely nothing new about this, you know. When South Africa got their, you know, apartheid ended and what, they had that, what they call the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, where people came and confessed their sins and met the victims of their decisions that had been taken through the apartheid period. And people were crying and what, and some were forgiving each other and so on. So it's a very nice way to, you know, to heal the past. But what happened is some guy came up and they called him Dr. Death. And he was a white doctor who had been commissioned by the South African government to make a virus that kills people based on their melanin. That means kills only black people. And actually, when the apartheid government fell, he was on the final stages. And he came and confessed it there. It was not here. So he came and confessed it. Yeah, and everybody forgave him. You know, you're forgiven. But if that had not changed, it would have been manufactured. And of course, the one thing those people were scared of is they were minority government, they were majority blacks, and the blacks were giving birth at a much faster rate. So they could not keep up. So they were going to continually be more and more of a minority. So either they would import people of a certain ethnicity or race from somewhere else, or they would have to stop the blacks a bit. And you could see it really bothered them, because I remember that apartheid president, the guy called Pik Botha, said the only thing Africans are good at is sex and sex, because they really were so angry that an African, 10 children and what? I'm talking about a woman, not a man. 10 children, bam, there. So that means that you can actually continue, go and dominate. So this man was manufacturing this thing. And it's a very, very easy way of... So now I'm seeing some of the things happening today. And you know, Revelation 15 and 16 talks of those plagues which will happen after the Antichrist. And I'm thinking that these guys are actually... God is just going to get out of the way and let them sort themselves. Because why would somebody sit down and manufacture a virus? And make no mistake, they are all manufactured. This thing of they came from a monkey and what? Remember what they said about AIDS? Well, they said AIDS came from contact for people who live somewhere deep in the forests of Congo who were in contact with monkeys. That was the official explanation. Now, sometimes official explanations can be very stupid, because the people actually who lived in that place who were in contact with monkeys had 0% HIV among them. Now, the people in cities who had not seen a monkey all their life are the ones who are dying of what? HIV. So it was the same as the Zika thing. It comes from Entebbe and jumps to where? To Brazil. Now, the people who actually are in contact with monkeys and even eat them. You know, in Congo, they what? Zero HIV. And then, one of those British newspapers, Telegraph still, I think, if I remember well, ran a story which I found very interesting. They said they found it interesting that every place, it was there in the newspapers, every place they had gone and done a vaccine, I think for chickenpox or something like that, chickenpox vaccine, every place they had introduced it, HIV broke out in exactly 6 months after that. And they actually had the... It was here, HIV. Here, before that, no HIV. Then the vaccines come, then HIV. Of course, you know. Now, there's a lot of... So, of course, the whole suspicion of vaccines, which was recently made a big deal, you know, and so on, it has been there for so many... Do you know when they ran that story? in the 1970s, where it was just some kind of myth, this whole, you know, thing and so on. So somehow, some people are being reserved under punishment for the day of judgment. But the Lord is able to deliver the righteous, praise the Lord, out of anything because they have a what? Now I'll tell you this. You see, even these guys of ours, these ones, you know, who are arresting each other and what? There was a time they excelled at importing poisons. They excelled at importing poisons from what? From abroad, especially from Russia. So they were different. They give you a 6-month dose, a 1-year dose. At some stage you start wasting away and then you what? And when you die. Now, I remember that time when I was, you know, in that place, somebody went and and told a relative of mine that now your brother is finished. He's finished. You just give him what? 6 months. It's about 9 now. Like, I don't know whether he knew what he was talking about, but he asked specific questions. That did they do this? Did they do this? Did they do that? And so my relatives called me from abroad and they were very scared. But why don't you go to Nairobi for a test? I said that will not be necessary. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, like, now, I remember we used to go to, you know, to a certain hotel that side of, you know, a new one, in Zambia, those ends. And so we'd be joking that because we knew, like, what. So we'd be joking and saying that when you reach there, they ask you, so should we put the poison at the side? You mix for yourself? Or should we mix it? And now the thing is, okay, it sounds like a joke, but went there on purpose. Because until you believe that your God is bigger than those things. Now let me tell you, who are the ones most scared of the poisons? Us? Who are the ones walking with chapatis according to one of them? You heard the guy say how they walk with what? With chapatis. They cannot even eat at a restaurant. Now for me, I would eat at any restaurant, even those which belong to them. I go and I eat there. And now if my God is smaller than poison, then it's okay. I will go and meet him earlier. But if he's bigger than that, so if God is going to, man, I've been preparing Kableta for something but poison. Surely my God is bigger than that. Praise the Lord. Now the thing is, he knows how to reserve, how to deliver the ungodly, the godly, out of what? Those things. So you can't drink water somewhere, you can't eat food. Imagine you're a rich man, a very rich man with a lot of money. But you walk with a chapati in your jacket. Like, that is a bondage. That is, the devil is a sadist. Like, that is a bondage. You cannot go and have a good meal because you're scared. Even water. So you carry water as if you're, you know those guys, those drunkards, who have their, you know, thing, so in their jacket. So for you, you're carrying water. And now the guy said they even go with the water to what? To state those things. Where you can't even trust your boss. Now imagine a scenario where we have, like, let's say, Watchman Partners meeting. Then I come and they say, you know, here is coffee for you. Then I hold in my pocket banner, I pull out what? He knows how to deliver the godly out of the, and keep the unjust in punishment. Because what is bigger punishment than having a lot of money and you can't even have a good meal at a hotel? And you're walking with a chapati. A Rolex.
in your jacket. Man, that is really reserving you under what? Punishment. Eh? For the day of what? Of judgment. Praise the Lord. Now even all these people who are this, you know, in Isaiah, the scripture says somewhere, talks of people who you dig a pit, eh? And you fall in it. I don't know where it speaks that thing. Eh? It says, talks about somebody who digs a pit for somebody else, eh? And he ends up falling in it himself. Now, as she looks for the scripture, if I've quoted it well anyway, but let you hear this. What we are seeing right now is I was reading a story of how this thing is going to be the end of China as the manufacturing whatever hub of the world for a number of reasons. First of all, it is they are staring down the face of a complete financial Armageddon. And let me explain to you how. All their businesses, they have one of the most effective small, and you know what they call SMEs, eh? Those small businesses. They employ 60% of the people and they give 50% of their GDP. And now they are all run, of course, on loans. Eh? But loans which have been, you know, swift. So they take loans, they, you know, do this. And I'm not so sure this is the one, but there's another one, I think, in there. Anyhow, never mind. Eh? And so they go and... So now, what happened is just 2 months. You see, when the Bible says, Babylon has fallen, the whole financial system, and it sounds like, how difficult is it to bring a world financial system down? And you see, even sometimes you look at it and you forget how big God is and how small everything, all of these things are. So one small thing, like the whole system can come down tumbling. Now I was reading, if that thing had continued in Japan, in that place, China, for one more month, that would be the end of their whole $43 trillion. You know, their system would come down tumbling. Because the banks are depending, are getting money, of course, from you know where. They are giving small businesses, they are getting back, getting money to lend out, and, you know, do all those things. Even all the businesses, some of which they bring into these other countries. Now, suddenly, just because of 2 months of people going for holiday and they cannot come back, the whole system was on the verge of total collapse. Now, to the point that they actually were telling people, now people in essential businesses have to go back to travel. Where, okay, we know the virus is not completely, you know, managed, but still, we will have to survive after this. So people go back into work because the whole system comes down. So banks wait for people to bring the money. People don't bring the money because they are not working. People are waiting for salaries. They are not salaries because they aren't working. People are waiting for rent and what and all that. And when the whole system is based on the bank, it's so easy for it to come down tumbling. And now sometimes these things are just a means. That's why it says in Revelation chapter this 18, later on it says that there are a group of people who will celebrate when Babylon comes down tumbling. And it says, now rejoice, all you apostles and prophets of the Lord. Because like you have the Lord has exacted vengeance. It's in this very chapter. The Lord has exacted vengeance on that whole worldly system. And it is so easy for the whole thing. Rejoice over her, O thou heaven, and holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Okay? The whole Babylon system. And just one small thing. Now, let me tell you something. You see how big these industries are? All these industries. Do you know how much disruption is there when the Premier League is put off for more than a month? In all the wages, what, everything. Just a virus. Eh? Everything cancelled. Football matches cancelled, what cancelled, and the whole system comes up. Now, the only people who survive are people like us. Praise the Lord. Eh? You understand? And God has designed it that way. The trouble is that's why he says, come out of her, my people. The only people who can survive, and now that's why it says, he knows how to deliver the godly out of all those situations. and then just keep those ones in already in punishment, but it's just like mini punishment, waiting for the actual judgment of the great day. Now, as I told you, everything is happening in tits, pieces and all that. Eh? But the real thing is going to come. Now, when you read in Revelation 16, where it talks about the vials of the bowls of the wrath of God, everything that is here, which the angels are apparently going to do, is going to be done by men. They are going to do it on themselves because they are going to unleash all those weapons on themselves. Now, let me tell you something. You think those Chinese did that virus to kill them? I think they had a plan for some other people. But we are here. Huh? You think they wanted to bring the economy down? No, they had a plan for some other people. But now the interesting thing, and you hear how they are saying, it's incredible how there are no cases in Africa. I think because they don't know how to test. Okay, we don't know how to test. Have there been any death? Now, where everybody wants it to be here, because that's where they think people are supposed to die. Now, what has annoyed me so much is the way our people are so ready to welcome it. They are rolling out a red carpet for it. Like, how stupid can you be? God has spared you. God has spared you. The people who dug the pit have fallen in it themselves. Has Uganda ever manufactured a biological weapon? So let those who manufacture them fall in the pit. For us, we are still where? Yeah. So we are putting travel advisory on Britain, what, America. Don't come. If you come first, be there, quarantine. That sounds good, doesn't it? By the way, I was happy. Whosoever diggeth the pit shall fall in it. And he that throws a stone, it will turn upon him. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what we are seeing. Where? Now, imagine. Now, here is what annoys me. Imagine if it was here and not there. Man, they just close all your boundaries and forget about you. And just say you die, sort yourselves. When you're through with dying, we'll come for your minerals. And all the things which God gave you. Now, let me tell you. This thing you're going to see. You dig a pit, you fall in it. Praise the Lord. Because the time of men being in control of the affairs of the world is over. Now God is in control. Praise the Lord. That's why, you know, that time would say, somebody was telling me the other day that, these guys, sometimes you have plans which, where somebody thinks, there are all these things which you have to counter. You understand? And they look so big in your eyes. Because people have hatched this plan so well, and they seem to be so powerful, and so. But you see, the only thing that limits God is actually when his people don't believe him, that he's God. You understand? Like when they don't believe that he's supreme. When you get just one person to believe in him. Now, if the person does not, then there is nothing God can do. Now, I want you to figure, let's say, in Joshua chapter 1, when God is telling Joshua that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, now Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, actually, God says that after they had been mourning for Moses 30 days, and he comes and says, Moses is dead. Yes, Lord, we know he's dead. We have been mourning for him for 30 days. We've just concluded 30 days of mourning. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I say to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man, now imagine, this is God speaking to Joshua, okay? And he says, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Now, if Joshua does not believe that, God cannot do anything. You have to believe that I serve the most powerful God. He has said no man will be able to stand with me. And now all his plans are dependent on you believing that he's supreme and everybody else you face is inferior. Praise the Lord. Now the thing we face, that's why we are rolling out the red carpet, is we are not yet ready to receive God's valuation of us. Praise the Lord. Where he tells you something and you think, but now these guys are powerful. No, they are not. They are not. They were seers saying how they are going to, you know, learning our languages because they want to come and one virus has sorted them. They are not. Praise the Lord. God is powerful. And those who are with him are powerful. Those who are not without him are weak, regardless of how powerful they may look. But you see, it is all dependent on you actually coming to the settling it in the heart, in your heart of hearts, that God tells Joshua, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Then you say, okay, that's it. Now you approach everything knowing nobody can stand before me all the days of my life. Why? Because God told me. Praise the Lord. Now, how much? Now you see, you might think that that here is Israel who had been slaves. Okay? Then these were young people whose parents had just died away in the wilderness. You remember that? After being in the wilderness 40 years. They were a small nation, and God was telling them to go and capture territory, which was so big, he actually even told them, you capture it bit by bit. Because if you capture it at once, there will be wild animals which will come there and what? And feed and eat you. So you just capture what your population can handle for now. But he's giving them huge territories and dealing with people who are bigger than China and all these other countries. Do you understand? In comparison, I'm trying to look at it from where Joshua is standing. These are countries which have been dwelling in those places for generations. When Israel were slaves, those people were there. And they were powerful armies, powerful people. And now God is getting this small nation and saying, nobody will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, what if Joshua does not believe that? Or what if you do not believe God's valuation of you right now? Of saying that there's something special about you. Now this is what you're going to do. What if you actually don't believe it? Then you see God has nothing to do. You understand? Because he has set it in this way. Now you have to be empowered. And then you go and approach those people knowing that my God has said nobody will be able to stand before me. Nobody can stand before me. And I know that, I believe it. And so, all the days of your life, as I was with mother, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, these are the same words which, you know, the Lord would say to us today. Amen? When he's sending you to conquer things which look apparently so big. And he says the same words, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Nobody will be able to stand before you. You go there and believe that you are superior to them. And you will see how they will all bow down to you. What if you don't believe it? Or what if you actually did believe it and say, you know what? If God has said it, then that's what I am. So I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you will divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, I made a promise to their fathers, to your fathers. You are the man who is going to make it come to pass. Only be strong. Okay? Be of good courage. To these people you divide the land, which I saw, Verse 7. He says, only be strong and very courageous. You see, also God is now almost pleading that please just be strong. Just know who is sending you out. You've seen what I've done before. Now, what I did before, I can no longer do. I'm not going to bring plagues to destroy those people and you just walk into an empty place. That was for Egypt. Now the game plan has changed. The game plan involves you have to go and get your swords dipped in blood. Okay? And that's it. In Egypt, you were slaves, so I had to manipulate things, kill, you know, subdue Pharaoh and do what? Because if I told you to fight, remember when they were coming out, he said, I'll take them the long route, because if I take them the short way, they will see war and get scared. Because he knew they were not yet ready for that. But now he says, you're ready. So now go, just believe what I'm saying. Now, I want you to relate this to everything that is happening in your life right now. Eh? Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it from right to left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, you know the interesting thing is, Joshua went and conquered, you remember very well, the first town, no problem. Then he went to the second town, and this time they were hammered. And they came back disgraced. And what did Joshua do? Joshua went and asked God that was Ai. Was the town called Ai? Yeah? He said, went and asked God, why you said that nobody will be able to stand before us? Why did we flee before these people? Now, until people understand these things, and God told him the reason why, and until people understand that if there is a word and there seems to be a contradiction, there is nothing wrong with asking why. You understand? Eh? And let me tell you, I can guarantee you God will tell you why. You said this is going to be this. I have tried this, I have tried this. You say I knock on doors open. Why are they not opening? Praise the Lord. Now, when you learn how to, until you learn how to live your life like that, I remember when I asked God why I've studied all the principles of sowing and reaping in the Bible, and to the best that I know, I have walked in them. Why is it that nothing is working out? Why? So I went and, you know, sought the Lord about it. And I was asking why. And I got an answer. Praise the Lord. And when you get an answer that way, it transforms your life. You cannot be the same. The thing is, you either continue in religious compliance with something and pretend it's working when it's not working. And I know so many people are like that. You know, eh? So many people were like that. You go to a place and people are talking big, you know what, this, what we are going to do this. And everybody is excited. But when you split their life, there is nothing. Now, at what point do people start asking, why isn't this thing working for me? Why did we go to Ai and we fled when the Lord God Almighty told us nobody will be able to stand before us? Then he tells him, because you did this, because somebody disobeyed me in the previous place. So now you have to repent and turn this around. Now there is a lot of lessons in all that work for us. Because you see, people do not want to get themselves to a place where they go, get instruction, and go to Psalms 94. Psalms 94, start I think from verse 10. It says, he who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who instructs nations, shall he not correct you, an individual? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mukama eva zivwe. Hallelujah. Ankole David. Anyway. He who instructs nations, shall he not correct you when you say, why isn't this thing working? I have done this, ABC. It's somehow, I'm not getting the result I'm expecting. And usually, of course, there is a reason why, if you ask. And he who teaches man knowledge. And he who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Then he says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Okay, the thing I want there is, blessed is the man, Lord, whom you instruct, whom you give an instruction. Praise the Lord. Now that one, let's read ahead. That says, it says that you may give him rest from all the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the what? For the wicked. You know the theme today is pits being dug for what? For the wicked. Now, that you may give him rest from all the days of adversity. Now let me tell you this. out. You know, somebody was were talking with a certain, you know, man of God, a friend of mine, a son of Prophet Elvis. So, you know, because you see, you listen to, and I love listening to stories of men of God and how they, you know, ABC. I did this, then I did that. Then he said, that guy said, like it seems only prophet is the one who moves from step to step. He doesn't seem to, like it seems he has not tasted a step, you understand, eh? From place to place. Then why is it like it's one step to the other? And I'm talking about now, like all the years that I've known him, like 10 years. One to the other, like no sense of yesude step, you understand, eh? And now the thing is just this simple. Then I realized that it is all based on instruction and how you respond to what? Now, when you find yourself in adversity, you missed an instruction. It says here that you may give him, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, verse 13, eh? That you may give him rest from the days of adversity. Now, when you're somebody who runs from one adversity to another, here, something you start, this it doesn't work, then another adversity, it's because somewhere, like, there is some instruction you got and you did not obey. And sometimes they are very, very simple things. Praise the Lord. Very simple things which you get an instruction and now you have a choice of whether to obey it or not to obey it. It can come in a dream. It can come through an intuition, through something. Go and do this. Go and register this. And all those things. And now you realize that all the people who have had this glorious, you know, testimonies to give, they've had one thing. Instruction is instruction. And it has to be obeyed immediately. Once an instruction comes from God, you obey it. Then you don't fall in adversity. You don't learn through tribulation. You understand? Because you never have tribulation. You don't toss with a step. Like you go from one step to the next, you're always going gloriously higher and higher and higher. Of course. Now, a time has to come when you actually know that God is in the business of instructing each and every one of his people, and he expects you to obey for your own good. Now, when you do it, like you eliminate all that adversity, all the pit, now you see how other people are falling in pits. You understand? Eh? Like, we know, like, you know, this person is, he walks like this, he's in a pit, and by pit, I mean like, you know, even you've seen people who have glorious ministries, but somehow they reach somewhere and they fizzle away. They pit out and you look for them and you can't find them. And you realize something there went wrong. It is always an instruction. Praise the Lord. It's always what? Now the good thing is the Lord will re-instruct anytime you want. So it seems I missed a step somewhere. So give me a fresh instruction which will put me back on course. Now, he is faithful. He will give it to you immediately. Like, if you had a job that you were believing God for. Now, like what I told you last time when I tell you that. You go there and say, I looked around. I'm the only person. Yeah? You look around. I don't see anyone else interested in this job. I'm the only one. Now, if it fails and you see it has gone, you ask the Lord, where did I sort of step? You know? Where did I miss it? Because you cannot just take that as when these things happen and you actually move from glory to glory. You can't, because that's adversity. You're expecting a job, you had believed for it, you had even sown for it, what it didn't happen. So why did it not happen? So like Joshua, you go and ask God, where did I go wrong? What instruction did I miss? What didn't I do? How come I'm supposed to be prospering, it's not working? How come this is supposed to be, it's not working? Then he will re-instruct you. Even if you've missed so many instructions, by the way, he will give you one which will bypass all the others and take you where you were supposed to be. Eh? That's what it means when he says that what? God will restore the years that the locust has eaten. Eh? He restores them. That he gives you one instruction and says, okay, let's see now if you take the instruction. Here it is. Now, even in spiritual growth, you can get to a time when you say, no, I'm not supposed to be. How come I am not manifesting certain things which I expected I would be manifesting now? And then you go for re-instruction. And then he can give you one which if you do, you're taken right back on course. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, it is so easy for people to settle for the religious thing of, let me keep on trying, you know. God will cover you. God will cover you. And like, now, you know. And then you meet somebody in a time of real adversity, when he's suffering the same fate as the wicked. And you look and know that this person, there is something which he missed. And now here is the point. There is not a single person who does not receive instructions from God here, unless you are not born again. Praise the Lord. There is not a single person. All of you do. And all of you know that it's an instruction from God. Amen? But some people choose to take it as such. The same way that somebody who is, you know, like God has instructed. I say, if God has told me to do this, I'm going to do it. No matter how inconvenient it is. I remember some time ago, a friend of mine came and told me he had a dream. And in the dream, it was so clear, the kind of dreams which people have who are very immature, like he is. So, you know those dreams which need no interpretation, and which people get when they are babies, where God doesn't want you to have an excuse. So, of course, as you mature, the dreams become a bit more complicated, a bit more cryptic. So you have to crack the puzzle. So he comes with me with this dream, and he was supposed to go to a certain man, sell to him a certain idea, to do a certain thing, and ABC. It was very, very clear cut. So he said, what do I do? So I told him that, what do you mean, what do you do? Meanwhile, he's in a time of adversity. He had fasted 3 days to get that dream. 3 dry days. Day and night, to get that dream. And it was a very clear dream. So I told him, go and do it. He was supposed to approach a certain man whom he knew, whom I know he knew, who actually he got to know through me. A certain very rich man here in town, and introduced to him a certain idea because he was into IT things and what. So he was supposed to introduce to him something where he's supposed to create some kind of IT solution. It was a very clear-cut dream. Now, he said, if I did that right now, it will be taking me off the course I'm trying to take. Because I am now trying to develop this. I've spent a lot of time doing this, and I'm trying to develop this. And, you know, now this thing seems to be taking me off it. And now this thing seems to be working out. And so if I take that direction, so I said, why did you fast? He said he fasted so that God can make this thing which he's pursuing to work. Now, let me tell you, that's how most people are. They decide, and God is supposed to what? To rubber stamp their decisions. It never works like that. It never works like that. The thing is, when you're a baby, a real baby, Christian, God can let you do that because you're what? A baby. He can let you decide what you want to do, and he helps you along the way. But at some stage, he has to demand that now you do what I'm telling you to do. And you have to believe that he knows your path better than you. You understand? You have to believe that he knows your path better than you, that he loves you, and he's taking you somewhere. So, okay, in short, the guy refused. He just plain refused. Now, it's almost 10 years now, That thing which he was pursuing died completely. It never went anywhere. Now, here is the funny thing. I met him and told him, by the way, that thing which you dreamt about, somebody went and sold it to the rich man, and now it's working. And he didn't seem to see that he had missed a step. By the way, some people really don't want God to interrupt their life. They want him. Like, you just come when you want to do what I'm telling you to do. Otherwise, don't mess me up. Like, I told him, and I brought it in the conversation form. Because I know that if you actually had said, eh, man, I missed a step. Now, God, where do I go from here? God gives you one another one immediately. And you catch up with the wasted years. Praise the Lord. But he refused. He totally refused. And I went slow on him this time. So I told him, hey, by the way, you remember that thing you dreamt about? Now, the reason I could remember it when I don't even remember my dreams from 10 years ago is because I have never seen such plain, determined disobedience. Like where somebody says, not that he's... No, it's one thing if he disputed my interpretation of the dream. He knew it was right. He knew he had gotten that dream. But he said, no, I think I'm taking a different path right now. And God is interrupting my progress. So I remembered the dream very well. So I just waited and to see. So when I heard, and you know those things which God... So I'm talking to that gentleman and he says, you know, we started this. There's this what program and what. So now we have a system. What exactly what that this guy was supposed to be doing. Eh? So I said, hey, okay, how is it working? He said, well, it's working fine and what. So anyhow, I went and shared that with him, thinking he was going to say, ee. Now, you know, if he said that, I would tell him, no problem. Just ask God to realign you, to get back onto his will, because he's always willing to praise the Lord. Now he had gone into a totally different thing, and I'm sure if God tried to realign him, he would say, now I'm chasing this. The other one which he was chasing that time died completely. It had zero headway. It actually died. It was a stillbirth. Praise the Lord. Now it says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. Praise the Lord. Now I can tell you, 10 years, adversity is there. He could have avoided that by doing a serious thing for a serious man and knowing very well it is an instruction from where? From God. And it cannot fail. Now, even if it pretends to want to fail, you go and ask God, you told me to do this. Why isn't it? Like every step of the way, you understand? Eh? You seek it. Like you, therein is how you avoid kusula step. Eh? But somewhere in there is pride. But that's what pride is really. Eh? That there is pride. Therein somewhere is really what is more proud than thinking you know better than God? Or you're sharper than God? Like really, there's no better. Like that is real pride. The only other pride is Lucifer's, where you think you deserve to be worshipped like him. But outside, but maybe nobody can be that stupid. But outside of what? Of that, it is that where you think you're sharper than what? Than God. And you just say no. Praise the Lord. So now, some people, even it says in Hebrews, that labor to enter his rest. You remember that scripture? Labor to enter his what? His rest. There is a place, that place where you rest and you're in. Now, if that man had done what that thing was telling him, he would enter a place of rest where actually things are flowing. You understand? Things are flowing because there is not a single. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Disobedience. For he who has entered this rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Amen? So you get to a place where God is in control, you've ceased from your own works. Now that's a beautiful place to be. Then he says, labor to enter that rest. Why is it a labor? It's a labor because it takes a lot of humility to give up all this and say, you know what? I think I could have done this. But if God is telling me this, and I dreamt and it's clear and what, let me just do it, even if it looks stupid. And now I'll tell you, 90% of the times, the things look stupid. Now, actually, this is the only person I know who got an instruction very clear from God, which did not look stupid. It actually looked sharp. Maybe because he's a baby. So God gives you something which even makes sense. But he still refused. Now, he says, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Of disobedience. We're entering that place where there is a certain thing where you're just there to receive instruction and obey instruction. Praise the Lord. You're not in charge of your life. You leave that to God. For you, just receive instruction and do what? And obey instruction. And leave the person who is giving the instructions the responsibility of making things come to pass. Praise the Lord. Eh? And for you, take that out of yourself. But if you don't, you get to... Now what happens is, with every disobedience, you draw farther and farther and farther away from him. Eh? And there is the end result is there is a certain... You get a sense of dryness. You understand? Eh? A certain sense of... Jeremiah chapter 6, that verse 8, we've read that before. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you. Praise the Lord. Lest my what? Depart from you. Lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Now, when the instruction comes and you do not take it, you sense that there is a distance growing between you and God. You understand? And it is clear, you know it. You know that previously you would pray in a certain way, now you pray in a different way. Previously you were connected in a certain way, now you are no longer. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? You sense it that I'm seeming to be drawing farther and farther and farther away. And now you start praying and you know that I'm at a distance. Then when you get close, you know you're close. Praise the Lord. How many of you cannot tell that? And you said, me, I cannot tell. For me, when I'm praying, I'm praying. Now, even that, by the way, is I remember a story by what I was from that book of I think it's, it must have been from that book by Ben Hinn called Good Morning Holy Spirit. How many people have ever read that book, Good Morning Holy Spirit? Okay, now, man, what a book! That book was like heaven itself speaking to us. That is a powerful, powerful book. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Like, I read it, and like, you cannot be the same again after reading that book. So, by the way, that book transformed people's lives. Eh? Good morning. Now, he says, he goes to have a service in the morning, eh? And it's a powerful service. You know, there are miracles, what, all these things. Eh? Then he tells people that, you know, this afternoon it's going to be greater. So come back, well, this afternoon is going to be great. So he goes. Now when he moves, he goes to his wife's like parents had invited him over for lunch. Now when he's sitting there, they are waiting for lunch, he feels the Holy Spirit telling him that you leave this place and go and like pray a bit before the afternoon service. And now God can do such things which also can be very inconveniencing. Eh? Eh? But you have a choice whether to obey or what? Or to disobey. So he started saying, but Lord, now what will my in-laws think? I'm here at my in-laws, what? What will they think, what? So what happens is the nudging comes, then when you've decided to disobey, it vanishes. Eh? So he went in the afternoon. He said the service was dry. Was dry. Dry, where he cried and said, now, you know where you can't wait for it to end. It is so dry. So he said when it ended, he ran back and said, Lord, now any time you tell me, I will just do what? I will go. He said, and he called it the price for the anointing. He said, any time, no matter how inconveniencing, I'm with my in-laws the next time I hear. If this is the result. Now you see, be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you. Lest I make your land desolate. Now in the morning, people saw powerful miracles. The presence of God was there. What? In the afternoon, it is so dry. Dry. And now the thing is, man, desolate. A land not inhabited. Eh? Praise the Lord. And just in between there was a instruction to follow. Now, of course, there are people who are not at the level that we are trying to talk about here, who just do things far, 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 eh? Like, because they have not yet even come to the realization of, you know, of following God and all that. Eh? Those also exist. Eh? And they're also there. And they also are Bebantubaf. Eh? But then, now if we want to go where actually God is leading us, eh? Step by step, and you want to go and you say, Sisura, step, eh? You have to be ready that when I hear an instruction, if it comes in a dream, if it comes in a message like this, if it comes in what, I will just go and do what? And do it. And at least let me fail trying to do it. and go and say, God, why isn't it? Let me do, and I, so that I go and ask God that, why did I do this and it did not work out? Yet I obeyed the instruction. Praise the Lord. Like that guy I told you who said that the Lord tells him to leave a church which he was pastoring and go and start doing what they called field ministry. Freelance, from people's one church to the other. Then things are not working out. He's so broke, he has no money, he has nothing. Then he goes and asks God, you said in your word that if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1:19. But I am willing and I am obedient. I listened to you when you told me to leave the church. But I'm surely not eating the good of the land. Things are what? Things are tight. He said it is coming to Christmas. I don't even have money to buy my children gifts. What is wrong? Now there, that's how you start what? You have to be result oriented. Now, the reason actually people don't have issues is they are not result. So God told him why. He said you're willing, but you're not what? You're obedient, but you're not willing. I've told you that story. But you see, people have to, there has to be an element of result oriented. If something has been done over and over again and it's not working, you have to go and ask God why. Your word said this. I dreamt this. I did this. How come I did? Now, here is the thing. Even if you actually thought he told you to do it and he actually didn't tell you, it will bless you somewhere along the way. Although he will redirect you because it is done. But how? Why is it not working? Now, until you teach, we teach our people to be result-oriented, we are going nowhere. We are in a religion. You understand? There has to be results in your life. How come I'm struggling, God? Did you really create me for struggle? Is there anybody who God created for struggle? Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. I like this. Of course, we've read it so many times. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise the Lord. Reading the what? Good life. That's what God prearranged. Everyone here has a good life, which God prearranged. So you go and put him to task, God, where is my good life? The one I'm living is not good. Do you think it is good? For me, the way when Tunulamu, it is not good. So Lord, what are you saying? It is this life I'm leading is not the good life. So now, if you really prearranged it and made ready for me a good life, I want to see it. Now, show me what am I supposed to do. I am ready to receive instruction. Praise the Lord. And even if you've missed 1,000 instructions, even if you've disobeyed, he will just give you one which will wipe away all the others and put you where you're supposed to be. And say, okay, let's forget the others. Now this one is going to fast track you. And the next thing you know, you're right there where you would have been if you had. So, praise the Lord. So somebody says, this is a step. By the way, determine not to, because in these end times, where is the time to what? To kusura step. It is not there. Now, the other day, by the way, you know some people really, do you know the scripture says that? I was checking the other day, the scripture says, now this is even nyongeza, it's out of the what? It's off the script. The script of the. Now, the other day I was reading, you know the scripture says that the river Euphrates will dry up. You know that? To make way, to give way for the kings of the east to come and attack Israel. You know that? It's in Revelation. Find it for us. Ooh, man, I'm ready for the good life. Can you imagine God arranged it for me before even I was born? And said, now this is the good life that you're going to live. Praise the Lord. It was arranged. The sixth angel poured out his seal on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, the other day, I was reading, the river Euphrates has dried up. you go and Google it. River Euphrates dried up. It has dried up. I was seeing the, now, it is not just swamps, like it has completely dried up. In some places, actually, it's totally dry. And now it was a big river, which had... Now, to know it is so spectacular. Even New York Times, writing the story of how the River Euphrates has dried up, puts a reference to the Bible and says, according to the Hebrew scriptures, this will be a sign of the end time. New York Times, because they cannot deny it. How can a river which had dams just dry up? Eh? So I laughed and said, man, we really are living in the last of the last days. So where do you get time to kusula step? Because you don't want to listen to an instruction. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Huh, man. Things are happening here. Now me, I will believe with Joshua. Nobody will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Praise the Lord. Nobody will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. Eh? Praise the Lord. Because it says, as I was with who? Moses. So will I be with what? With you. Eh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Rika mazantalava sikoro zantalava shokromazon torusha. Sereme sharabazintalava shokromazon torusha lamazinta. Rika lazon torusha lamazin torusha lamazita. Rika mazin torusha lamazin torusha lamazantalava shokroma. Sereme shokromazon torusha lamazita lamazin. Rika mazantalava shokromazin. Rika mazin torusha lamazon torusha lamazantalava. Now there is somebody who I see who is has an instruction to stay here, but he's dying so much to go abroad. He's fighting so hard to go abroad. And it actually is blessing, is here. Now, but the grace of God has kept you placed so far, but of course you can choose to disobey. You have the right to. But might not work out so well. So if you are that person, just determined to do what you feel the Lord is leading you to do, you actually even have had the prophetic word about it, about something which is cooking here. Now there is a lady here. You have a daughter abroad who knows she has a powerful calling, but she's really, really dilly-dallied about it. She's all over the place concerning it. And who is that lady? Come forward. We need to pray for her. Because there is a message for her. You have a daughter who lives abroad. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, because we subdue our stubbornness, Father, and we subdue ourselves before you, and we say that we shall do your will, O Father, and we incline our hearts to hear and do your will, Father. We incline our hearts to take instruction in the name of Jesus. We incline our hearts and our eyes and our minds to receive instruction from you, Father, and we shall do according to your will. In the name of Jesus, for we believe that your path is the only path. Now we do not have a will of our own, your will is our will. In the name of Jesus, Sile mohromosita le bashoh ramazon torushan sekile mazon torushan ramazon torushoh ramaz rekamazan tal bashoh ramazon tormosin tarvas arasin torushoh ramazon torushan rekamazan torushan ramazon torusan ramazan torushoh ramazon torushan ramaz sikam razon torushan ramazin torushoh ramazon torushan rekamazan tarmasan tarmazan torushan rekamazan tal bashoh ramazon torushan sekam razin torushan ramazan tarushan Rekamazin toru şarmazan toru şarım, sekiram razon toru şarmazin toru şarım,
Now the Lord puts you on track in the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Father, because you give me an instruction that puts me right back on track. Say, thank you, Father, because you restore all the time, all the years that have been eaten by the locust. In the name of Jesus, you restore that time and you put me right back on track. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your offering. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person that connects here this day. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you, Father, will open doors. We thank you, Father, for doors that are opened. I pray, Father, that you give us the courage to go and knock on doors until they open. Give us the courage, Father, to go and knock on doors until they open in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, because we shall not be people who sit back and just hope things happen. We are going to be of the stock of Joshua that sets out to go and capture territory and divide the land amongst us. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.